Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a lot to talk about here on this Monday morning. We do have a guest coming up here in just a few minutes, but the rest of the 8 o'clock hour, we will have the phone lines open for you here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Speaking of your phone calls, speaking of your opportunity to talk, we've got Nancy and Roundup on the phone lines already. Nancy, what's on your mind on this Monday morning? Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking my phone call, and good morning, Montana Talks family. A couple of quick talking points. I want to talk about the trade deals. This is a straight win across for American economy, not just our countries, but for the state of Montana. I think Japan is something like $550 billion worth of agricultural goods and other things, including our energy and also the EU, something like $850 billion is what they're going to be buying from us. This includes agriculture and once again, energy, and also automobiles. This is something that Europe has never done, is bought cars and trucks from the USA, and they're going to be importing manufactured American cars and trucks and SUVs, and that's excellent news. But I just want to say one more thing. This could call and all this optimism and all this prosperity could end next year, 2026, if we lose the House. Yep. We cannot lose the House. This is why the Democrats are trying to redistrict. They want all these freaks like this Eric Swalwell and this Beto O'Rourke and this Mandami in New York City and this Hakeem Jeffries. If we lose the House, it's over. We're going to go through what we did before with President Trump. They're going to accuse him of nonsense, expensive trials and accusations. They're going to try and impeach him. We cannot let this happen, Americans. Do everything you can to prevent us from losing the House in 2026, or it'll all end for us.
Well said all around, Nancy. Thanks for the call. Great way to open up the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Rewinding the tape back to the first topic she brought up there, too, talking about Japan and the importance of a trade with Japan and what President Trump is doing on that front. Look no further than Roundup, where Nancy just called in from. That coal at the Bull Mountains coal mine, is it the Bull Mountains? Basically, Montana coal is what is going to Japan. Actually, I think the Bull Mountain stuff, a lot of that goes to Korea and some other places. But anyway, bottom line, Japan is a big purchaser of Montana coal. Remember, they had, they had that big tsunami several years ago. So now they are literally gasifying coal from here in Montana to power their economy, and then it ends up powering our Montana economy as well. Great phone call, Nancy. Thanks for calling in. We're going to have more open phones time for you here in just a few minutes. But first, after the break, energy, if that's what they need if they want to power AI. We've been talking about AI, artificial intelligence, a lot here recently. Apparently, a lot of people are using AI for mental health therapy in replacement of actual therapy. We've got a guest who's going to join us here right after this, thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio. Stand by.
It's August 18th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Never Give Up Day, which can be easier said than done. Stay motivated, be positive, and don't quit. Also on this day in 2020, Joe Biden, formally nominated as the Democratic Party's presidential candidate.
Well, thank you very, very much. From the bottom of my heart, thank you all. It means the world to me and my family.
This taking place during the first ever virtual convention due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Larry Bird, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, retires on this day in 1992 at the age of 35 after winning gold 10 days earlier as part of the dream team in the Barcelona Olympics. Born on this day in 1952, actor Patrick Swayze of Roadhouse goes to Dirty Dancing.
Nobody puts baby in the corner, but I always do the last dance of the season. This year, somebody told me not to. So I'm going to do my kind of dancing.
I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. those jelly heads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
A message from FireSafe Montana. With the large number of homes being built in the wildland urban interface, it is the responsibility of the homeowner to use ignition-resistant materials. Many buildings in a wildfire are burned from the roof down. Consider using a metal or asphalt roofing material. The siding of a home is subject to extremely high heat during a fire. Look into the use of stone, stucco, or cement board. Contact FireSafe Montana for more information.
This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
You're great. From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is pretty funny. Before we get to our guest here on the show, I think Caden may be chatting with her, trying to track down our guest right now. But at 8:06 this morning, so just a few minutes ago, I had a Truth Social alert. I got an app alert from Truth Social. You know, that's President Trump's a social media platform. And anyway, this was the alert that I got here. This came from Mr. Producer, Rich Cementa. You know, he is Mark Levin's producer. MSNBC, and he shared a link from NBC News. MSNBC no more. They are changing their name from MSNBC. I wonder if it's because NBC News is now just as bad as MSNBC is, so there's really no difference between NBC and MSNBC, so maybe they're trying to differentiate the two somehow or another. But, this was from MSNBC. MSNBC will change its name to MS Now, My Source News, Opinion World, and unveil a new logo later this year as part of the cable channel's spinoff from the Comcast-owned media company NBC Universal. So it's MS Now, something to that effect. So, I got that update from Truth Social. And then about a minute later, I got a text from Greg Franks in Billings, listening to KBUL, who says this: MSNBC has just announced its new name, MS Now. I think it means madly spinning news over the world. Yeah, MS Now. I'll bet if I jump on X here in the next break, there's going to be all sorts of fun that people are having with that new acronym. MS Now. I'm surprised they didn't call it MSNWO, MS New World Order or something like that for the crazy globalists running their outfit. All right, but yeah, the topic we're going to get to, and I don't know if we'll get the guest on the phone lines with us or not, but this was what Fox News Radio was reporting here earlier this morning. AI is not ready to be your therapist, but it's apparently a top reason that people are using it. From falling in love with ChatGPT to deep fakes of deceased loved ones, artificial intelligence's potential for influence is vast. Its myriad potential applications not yet completely charted. In truth, today's AI users are pioneering a new, still swiftly developing technological landscape, something arguably akin to the birth of social media in the early 2000s. Yet in an age of uncertainty about nascent generative AI's full potential, people are already turning to artificial intelligence for major life advice. One of the most common ways, apparently, that people use generative AI in 2025, it turns out, is for therapy. But the technology isn't ready yet. I don't know, even if the technology was ready yet, do you really want to be using AI for mental health? I don't know. A Pew Research Center survey published last month reported that a vast majority of surveyed AI experts said people in the United States interact with AI several times a day, if not almost constantly. Around a third of surveyed U.S. adults said they had used a chatbot, which includes things like ChatGPT, before. Some tech innovators, including a team of Dartmouth researchers, are leaning into the trend. Dartmouth researchers have completed a first-of-its-kind clinical trial on a generative AI-powered therapy chatbot. The smartphone app-friendly Therabot has been in development since 2019, apparently, and they're claiming that its recent trial showed promise. So, I don't know about that one. But, we had a guest lined up to talk about that topic, but that's all right. We'll drive on. We've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about here on this Monday morning, obviously, a couple of the big stories of the day here, you know, on the national front, and then we've got some Montana stories that we'll talk about here as well. But obviously the big story on the national front is on Friday, after we wrapped up this show, President Trump, the president of peace, peace through strength, President Trump holding that peace summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday. And I don't know about you guys, but when that B-2 bomber flew over Putin's head, it's got to be the best highlight from that summit on Friday. Or maybe the best highlight was when Vladimir Putin told us what we already knew, which was if Donald J. Trump had still been president, the war in Ukraine never would have started in the first place. You know, basically, Putin was admitting that he took advantage of the weakness of Joe Biden and the weakness of the European left to launch the invasion, just like he took advantage of the weakness of Barack Hussein Obama and other presidents before him to launch invasions. He wasn't invading other countries while Donald J. Trump was the president of the United States. And then, of course, today, Zelensky is headed to the White House along with other European leaders, and I feel very confident about the meeting today that it would be a much smoother meeting than the last time Zelensky was at the White House. And then on the Montana front, here we go again. Here we go again. Yet another left-wing group is trying to change our state constitution here in Montana so that they can maintain their left-wing partisan grip on the Montana Supreme Court. This shows you just how desperate the Democrats are to hold on to the Montana Supreme Court. This shows you how desperate the Democrats are to prevent candidates from being able to run with a party affiliation. Anyway, we'll tell you about that story coming up here right after this. Plus, phone lines are open for you, 294-0970.
Fox Sports Update.
First pass is by Bird. Reds win. Hayes Everson down the line. Friedel scores. The Reds remaining the only team in the majors this year yet to suffer a sweep defeat, and they break the Brewers' longest ever in-season winning streak. It dies at 14.
On FanDuel Sports Network Ohio, Cincinnati got a bases-loaded single from Austin Hayes in the bottom of the 10th inning to beat the Brewers 3-2, Milwaukee's first loss since July 30th. The Brewers have still won 17 of their last 18 games and have the best record of the major leagues by 6 games over the American League-leading Blue Jays. Milwaukee 8 games on top of the National League Central over the Cubs. The Dodgers beat the Padres Sunday 5-4 to complete a 3-game sweep and move 2 games ahead of San Diego for first place in the NL West. The Padres began the series with a 1-game lead over Los Angeles. In the Sunday night game, the Mets beat the Mariners 7-3. Seattle, a game and a half behind Houston for first place in the AL West. The Mets hold the third and final National League wildcard spot by a game and a half over the Reds. Golf, Scottie Scheffler sank an 82-foot chip shot on the 17th hole at the BMW Championship Sunday to solidify his victory at the BMW, good for a purse of $3.6 million. Scheffler, the first golfer since Tiger Woods 18 years ago to win at least 5 tournaments 2 years in a row. This coming Thursday, the season-ending Tour Championship begins at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta. Top 30 golfers in the FedEx standings will compete. $10 million prize to the winner. Sunday night NFL preseason, the Bears busted the Bills 38-0. Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler threw a 20-yard touchdown with 21 seconds left against the Jaguars and then scrambled for a 2-point conversion. New Orleans and Jacksonville finished in the 17-17 tie. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Hey,
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, next up on the phone lines, by the way, we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. But great to have Tim and Savage with us on the phone lines. Hey, Tim, before we get to the topic that you called in on this morning, we've got another name for MS Now. MSNBC, they're changing their name to MSNOW. And Greg Franks in Billings says, hey, I think this is what the MSNOW stands for. Misleading socialist news, often wrong. I think that's my favorite thus far. What do you think?
I'm sure there's going to be a ton of them there. And I'm always waiting until to see what the Joker comes up with for it as well, because I'm sure he's going to have a good new name for him.
He's probably already on a tweet storm already on X. I'll have to go recon, the Joker on X to see what he's got to say about this as well. Yeah, so this whole topic of using AI for therapy, what's your thoughts?
Well, it's really interesting when you brought that up, because I was at a couple of the national conferences this summer on mental health sectionals, and one of them was describing a particular AI that is completely self-contained. It's the therapist, and they took all of his writings, everything that he had ever done, written, spoke, they just took all of that and put it all into a closed system, and then using the generative AI based upon that information alone. I don't know what the algorithms are for Grok or for ChatGPT or where they pull their information from, but within that closed system, they describe this as being very, very accurate and worthwhile, and it was working. The key was it was only information from this one doctor, and so that it was, and he monitors it, and I guess it's doing a great job. It's a subscription service, but if you can keep it a closed system without bringing in all the other crap from the internet, I suppose generative AI would work if you're just basing it on all the input from that solo person.
Yeah, I think it's like any tool. Any tool can be used for good. Any tool can be used for bad. And just like books, right? There's books that can be used to teach and spread goodness. There's books that can be used to teach and spread evil. The internet, same concept. AI, same concept. And so it depends on what you're feeding into it and what it's going to put out. But like an AI example, I threw out the question last week, what do people use AI for? So you wear a number of hats. So like you're an Eastern Montana County school superintendent. And then you volunteer in a number of different categories. You're also a pastor. So how do you use AI much? And if so, like, how do you use it?
The only thing I've been using so far is just within the Google search engine. And when it pulls up things, it can summarize. And I noticed that just automatically comes up in my email as well. You can see summaries. And it's kind of interesting. The first time I heard about ChatGPT, just for the heck of it, I plugged in. I said, I looked at what the scripture readings were for the week, and I plugged in and I said, write me a sermon on this gospel. And I didn't think it was bad. It pulled together the resources, and it was, you know, it was interesting. It wasn't very personal or anything like that, but I didn't think it did a bad job there. But I'm not using it to the full capability, but I know that is something that I know, you know, speaking of another hat, the Board of Public Ed, we are very interested in pursuing and finding out what we can do to find out more about it and support it. And one of our members is kind of taking the lead on that. Because I know, like in North Dakota, the North Dakota Department of Public Instruction is going great guns with endorsing it and finding the right ways to use it, because exactly what you described, it's a phenomenal tool if used properly, but a hammer can also kill, as well as, you know, being a useful tool for building a house.
Yeah, so I've got a fun way that I used AI just yesterday. So Grok is Elon Musk's AI platform that's built into X, formerly known as Twitter, right? So, because I found, like, if you try to Google search things, Google spends more of their time trying to mislead you and give you bad information and not give you the answer to your question now than they do actually trying to help you find answers to your questions. So So I just try to ignore Google as much as possible. But so yesterday, so we're putting the pontoon in the water, and so we're right at the dock, you know. And you want to be fast when you're on the dock. So anyway, I put the boat in the water, you know, lower the motor, and it's an outboard, and turn the key, and the motor's obviously working, right? But it's not turning over. It's not starting. And so I'm like, okay, we want to clear the boat ramp here because there's other folks that need to get their boats in the water. So, okay, let's just walk the pontoon around to the other side of the dock. I'm like, it's got to be something simple, right? Because I know it's in good shape and everything, right? So I asked Grok. I said, hey, you know, here's what's happening with the motor. And it, you know, gives me a little list of things. And then it's like, hey, you know, double check the kill switch lanyard, you know, when you have the little rubber band thing hooked up to you so that if you fall out of the boat stops running. Well, I double check the lanyard. I pull the lanyard off and then I reattach it and then start the, boom, the boat's up and running. Yeah. So something little and stupid like that would ruin your day any other weekend. Yeah. Luckily I had cell phone signal where we were at, you know, and on the beautiful Flathead Lake, I would add, by the way. And boom, I plugged that thing back and we're off and rolling. And it's like, wow, Grok within 30 seconds got my boat up and running. It was just something little like that, that if we always assume it's something bigger when it could just be something little and easy to fix something.
And that would have been pretty embarrassing. You tow it back to the shop, you take it into the shop Monday morning, and then they call you up. Oh, okay, here's your service fee for us pulling out and putting back in the lanyard.
Oh, yeah. And that would happen. Yeah, that would happen. They'd be like, no wonder this guy talks on the radio. He isn't that smart with mechanical stuff, right? Yeah, that would hopefully we've all had those moments at one point where you're like, oh, yeah. It's kind of like whenever you call a computer tech guy and you're like, hey, this won't work. Or you call your internet service provider and they're like, is it plugged in? Did you restart your computer? Oh, it's working now. Thank you very much. All right. Sorry I called you. All right, Tim. Thanks for calling. Great to hear from you. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right. You too. Let's see. Yeah, phone lines are open for you as well here, 406-294-0970. Let me close that one out as we're playing with a new phone system here. Caden, you can send us our next caller. There we go. Okay, we've got our next caller ringing in right now. Let's see. What did Jack in Kalispell left a call-in message, but I'm not sure if I know exactly what the call-in message means. So, Jack, send us a message on the Montana Talks app with the what you'd like us to mention or promote, or call in 406-294-0970. Let's see. It's Monday. She's ready to rock and roll already. Frances in Big Fork, what's going on, young lady?
Well, I think AI could be very bad, too. Like mental health, they could drive these people completely nuts and tell them to start fires and kill people and everything else. So there is a bad side to it, too.
Well, look at the regular therapy. Look at the regular therapists that are out there. I mean, there's some really good ones. But look at some of the bad therapy where you've got the radical, you know, transgender agenda being pushed on kids, sometimes being pushed in these schools. Abigail Schreier has a great book called Bad Therapy, where the actual therapists are pumping out bad information, and especially, you know, anti-Christian therapists that are out there pushing an faith narrative. And then we wonder why mental health keeps getting worse in America, or, well, we keep pushing faith out of everything, right?
Yes, especially faith. They hate Christians to the ultimate because they know Christians are stronger people than they are. And that's what scares him to death.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I was listening to a book, so I drove from the Flathead to Billings so I could attend the Friday night of Rodeo Billings. You know, the first time outdoor rodeo has taken place in Billings in several years now. And by the way, they put on an incredible production. It was so cool to be there for that. And Frances, thanks for the call. But one of the books I was listening to, and I'm not done with the book yet, But actually, this is another Grok example. I asked Grok, I said, hey, Grok, what are some good conservative books that are out? Maybe new ones, or maybe books that were out in the last year or so. What would be some good ones so that I can listen to something, you know, for the, you know, for the long drive? And at the top of the list was a book by Jack Posobiec. Jack Posobiec, a great conservative commentator. I think he's been on Steve Bannon's War Room several times. But the book is called Unhumans. And basically, his book called Unhumans is not just a history of communism and the evils of communism, but his book also ties in with the modern-day American left in America. This intersectionality concept that we've been talking about on this show, it's right in line with that. He basically makes the point that Marxism and modern-day Marxism in America is not so much an ideology as it is a tactic. It's a tactic to divide and conquer. That's why all these disparate groups come together in the modern-day American left. That's why you can have a radical Islamic group waving their pro-Hamas flag right next to a radical left-wing transgender advocate waving the LGBTQRSTLNE flag, because they want to bring together these various groups who have a common interest, which is overturning the United States of America as we see it and transforming it into something else. So he talks about how Marxism isn't just an ideology, it's a tactic, and that's the tactic that we are seeing with the modern-day American left. But he also said something else about people of faith and about the French Revolution and the Carmelite nuns. Anyway, I see we've got to take a quick break. I'll mention that quick point after this. Plus, we'll get to Stu in Marion. It was great to see Stu here a couple of weeks ago. Stu is on the phone line. Stu, you'll be up right after this. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, Stu in Marion, give us a call back. Yeah, I was going to go to Stu in Marion first up out of the break, but we must have lost him there as we went into that that last break there. But, yeah, Stu, call back. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Apparently, Stu said that he was spending some time volunteering at a booth at the fair at the Northwest Montana Fair, and had some good conversation with folks, and there were some things that grabbed attention, whether it was they grabbed the attention of the folks he was talking to or the people talking to him. So anyway, Stu, call back in, because I'd love to hear what you have to say. It was fun to see you at our live broadcast out on the town a couple of weeks ago. Meantime, I mentioned earlier we had a guest lined up, but you guys know how talk radio goes. It's Semper Gumby. You got to always be flexible here, because we had a guest lined up through Fox News Radio, but sometimes what happens is they have other interviews lined up with other radio stations, and so sometimes it happens on time, sometimes it happens a little bit later. We've now got with us here on the show Dr. Patrick Porter, who is an expert in brain health. And Dr. Porter, great to have you on the show. We kind of teed up the topic a little bit earlier and had a great phone call talking about how AI is being used for therapy. Anyway, what's your thoughts on this whole topic?
Yeah, I think people are misunderstanding what AI is. It's not really intelligence. It's basically a glorified Google engine. You know, it's returning back to you information. So you can get good information. I think it's valuable, but it doesn't replace human interaction. It doesn't replace, you know, brain fitness and keeping your body healthy. A lot of people are using it as their best friend now, you know, and I think that there can be some pros and cons to that. I mean, people need connection, but we need real connections.
Yeah, I think your description was spot on, that artificial intelligence, really, to me, it's like Grok. I just see Grok, the Elon Musk version of AI, like the Elon Musk version of ChatGPT, for example. To me, it's just a better, more trustworthy search engine than what Google is right now. I get better information faster. I get more comprehensive information, but I still don't trust it as a primary source of information. I might use it for leads or tips, but I'm still going to click the links to follow through to find out if the information is accurate or not.
That's right. It's also really important what questions you ask it, because these prompts, you get back a totally different response. So because it doesn't have intelligence, that's a misnomer. There's no intelligence there. It's basically taking these large scale information platforms and combining them into a search engine that compiles them. Even the voice, it sounds like a real person. You know, they even made it so some of the voices actually stutter and they have like human imperfections. It's really tricking the brain, because the brain doesn't know the difference between real or imagined. So, but I think it can be valuable as a starting point, but don't take it as the gospel truth. You know, because like you said, we've had a lot of people do, when we do research, it's shown research that isn't really true research. It makes up stuff. You know, just like our, you know, if you have a couple of drinks, you might start making stuff up. It seems like ChatGPT has that same issue.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of it, too, is trash in, trash out. Who are they using as their source of information? Who is their source for mental health treatment? But, yeah, I guess, in a way, if you look at it like, okay, hey, if you're somebody who is either struggling with mental health or trying to help somebody who's struggling with mental health, and you start Google searching or searching on another platform or ChatGPT or Grok to say, hey, what are some ways that I could help somebody with blank? Or what are some ways that I could help somebody else? Or maybe there's a veteran struggling with mental health issues. What recommendations do you have? Treat it like a search engine. But how are a lot of people treating it? Because it sounds like this is one of the biggest ways that people are used, because there's so many mental health challenges in this country right now, that this is the biggest way that people are using AI platforms. So what are some of the questions they're asking? What are some of the topics that they're bringing up? But what are some of the outputs that they're getting?
Well, I think the main thing is that they're looking to ChatGPT to become their conscience. You know, they're asking about relationships, they're asking about work life, and basically how you frame it. I like these AIs for research and things like that, but you have to frame it in what would a world class practitioner of health say about my mental condition. But if you just say, what would you do about this mental condition? Remember, chat was programmed by a person. So it's not like some divine intelligence came in and gave us this ChatGPT or Grok or whoever. You know, these were all programmed by people, and now they're letting the system program itself. So you have, like you said, junk in, junk out. So we have to discern on what works and what doesn't work. And when they say 146, I think, billion responses every week or something is going on with this. So they say that college students use this as their best friend. You know, and you know, still seniors still use Google searches and that. But I think as people become more aware and they put the voice in there, people are going to start to believe that this AI, when we say artificial, it's artificial intelligence. So that's like an oxymoron. You know, is it intelligent or is it artificial?
Yeah.
You know, it's weird how they use those two words. And so the reality is it's just information. And if you look at it, to stay sane, they can ask it any question you want, but just realize you're just getting information fed back from the computer. Like if you and I searched Wyoming football, let's say, it's going to return back a lot of different things, right? Some we're going to want to read, some we're not going to want to read. Some are going to be from somebody in their basement who's just decided to post something online. Some's going to be by ESPN. You know what I mean? So there's going to be different sources. So you got to look at those sources and verify them.
And what the AI platform already knows about you might dictate how it gives you information, because it might want to pander to you. So if it's bringing up, say, Montana State football, but you're a Montana football fan or vice versa, it might know that and then give you certain information as a result. Yeah, very interesting stuff. Well, Dr. Patrick Porter, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us here this morning on Montana Talks.
All right. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, great to have you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I think for me, this is where... what I have concerns about when it comes to these some of these AI platforms, right? Like even Grok has its shortfalls, has big shortfalls, depending on the topic, et cetera. But what concerns me is that some of these programs, like ChatGPT, started with a horrific left-wing bias. And then they started to get a little better. My concern is that there will be a bait-and-switch approach here. And we're used to the bait-and-switch approach, right? We see it in the media. We see it in the Democrat Party, with candidates in particular, sometimes even with Republican candidates, right? The bait and switch for AI is going to be you'll get an AI platform out there that will be good. It will be, give you good information. It will be, give you useful information. And then it will turn on you. The program will turn on you. And now all of a sudden it's what because they want to condition you. It's kind of like the frog in the pot of water. Right. If you just slowly warm up the pot to the boil, you boil the frog. But if you throw the frog in boiling hot water, they'll jump right back out. And I think and I know some of these AI platforms, that's what they're going to try to do. It's just like what Google did. Google started as a platform where people found it very useful and very helpful. And Google became a verb because you would just Google something. And now everybody's realizing, like, we can't just Google stuff anymore because look at the way Google interfered in our presidential elections. Look at all the harm Google caused to this country. As a result of their left-wing bias, a lot of political candidates on the left and right can be the same way as well. They start off saying, "Oh, I'm a different kind of Democrat. I'm a moderate. I'm a blue dog Democrat." And then what do? They get into power, and it's the bait and switch. I mean, you know, former liberal Senator John Tester of Montana is a classic example of pretending to be something that he wasn't. And then look at what we're stuck with now with Obamacare. In fact, on that front, I got to talk about this piece, guest opinion column by State Auditor James Brown. It's at politics406.com. Maybe we'll get to that one later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But the thing I was going to say, back to that book, Unhumans, by Jack Posobiec, talking about the history of communism and just these kind of leftist agitators in general. And in the modern-day American left in America, he talked about the Carmelite nuns in the French Revolution. And they were all sent to the guillotine. They were all sent to their death. And they knew they were being marched to their death. And you know what they all did? They sang hymns while they were marched to the guillotine. One was killed. The rest kept singing. Another was killed. The rest kept singing. Each of those nuns kept singing all the way up until the guillotine came down on their necks. Now, the leftist agitators, when they were marched eventually to the same guillotine by who they thought were their, you know, leftist agitator friends, they were sent to the guillotine kicking and screaming. See, there's a difference between those who have faith and those who want to undermine a system built on faith, isn't there?
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The heart and soul of Russia's economy is energy. The fact that the European Union has been purchasing so much energy from Vladimir Putin has actually worked against them because they're funding his war machine in the process. Another big part of this is the tariffs that President Trump put on India if they continue to buy Russian oil. And when the president says over and over again there will be severe consequences if Putin doesn't make a deal here, not talking about going to war with Russia, he is basically saying he's going to do everything in his power to prevent Russia from being able to sell their energy, which will just devastate their economy.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, if you're with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you are overpaying for wireless, period, end of sentence. You're paying for thousands of retail stores that you're never going to go to. You're paying for unnecessary perks that you'll never use. But guess what? My cell phone provider, Pure Talk, they use the same 5G network, the same cell towers. The only difference? They don't charge you for any of the garbage. Instead, Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And guess what? You can keep your phone and your phone number. The switch is simple, fast, easy. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month, and you can be switched over in mere minutes. #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
The week ahead.
Monday, the U.S. and South Korea will hold joint military exercises to address possible threats from North Korea. On the rails here at home, Party Time Amtrak begins a new Mardi Gras line that runs between New Orleans and Mobile, Alabama. And if you're hungry, KFC bringing back potato wedges and hot and spicy wings. Tuesday, it's the start of multiple public hearings in New York City to hear from train and bus riders about increasing fares. It's also soft serve day. Carvel is offering $1 soft serve ice creams. Wednesday, GamesCon 2025, touted as the world's largest leading event for computer and video games in Cologne, Germany. Thursday, Fox One streaming service launches, bringing all of Fox's leading news, sports, and entertainment branded content together in one dynamic streaming platform. Friday, date night at the movies, Fandango, Cinema United, and the Cinema Foundation offering 2-for-1 concession deals at theaters nationwide to promote going to the movies. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I think Secretary of State Marco Rubio, he was either on Fox News Sunday or he was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, but here he is previewing today's White House meeting with President Zelensky and other European leaders. Of course, President Trump just had the peace summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday. Today, at the request, at the invite of President Trump and his team, don't believe the fake news media on that one. It's at his invite that Zelensky and these European leaders are now traveling to the White House. Secretary of State Marco Rubio giving this preview of the meeting today.
What are you expecting to present to Zelensky tomorrow?
Well, I think tomorrow's conversations, a lot of it will be centered around what are the kinds of security guarantees that Ukraine is looking for. Because what Ukraine is looking for here is the war ends. How do we make sure this doesn't happen again? How do we make sure that in 2 or 3 years, the Russians don't come back at us? So they want guarantees built up so that they can protect themselves or prevent such a war from occurring in the future. So the details of what that would look like is something that hopefully we'll spend a lot of time discussing tomorrow. We had a long conversation about it yesterday with the national security advisors of multiple European countries. Some work has already gone into it, but now we're at a stage where we need to build some details on it and then ultimately, you know, obviously present that to the Russian side and get them to accept it. But first we have to have our ducks in order.
What kind of security guarantees is the U.S. willing to make?
Well, that'll be part of the conversation tomorrow. At the end of the day, the truth of the matter is that any security guarantee that, the Europeans, there's a lot they can do and a lot they can offer, and it would be a huge concession. It would be a very big move by the president if he were to offer a U.S. commitment to a security guarantee. That'll be his decision to make, and I want people to understand that. That tells you how badly, if he does it, it tells you how badly he wants peace, how much he values peace, that he would be willing to make a concession like that.
All right, there you go. That was Marco Rubio, with Maria Bartiromo on Sunday Morning Futures. All right, Stu in Marion is back on the phone line. Stu, thanks for calling back in. So, hey, tell us about the fair. You were working at a conservative political booth. What stood out to you?
Oh, boy, I tell you, it was a wonderful time. You know, I was there just about the whole week, and we just learned a lot. You know, we were trying to engage people and just see what the issues were and see if we could get them to take a postcard and write their senators, congressmen here in Montana. I think number one for sure is property tax. And I saw quite a few heated exchanges back and forth between a lot of people about property tax. And, that is definitely what people are most concerned about at that fair yesterday. And Saturday, I worked all day Saturday. It was quite a day. And I did see a few heated exchanges. People are very, very concerned about the, you know, the taxes on second home stuff. And I did not know this, but about 60% of all the second homes in Montana are owned by Montanans. And I would have thought it would have been a whole lot more from out of state, but this is the statistic that I heard from a realtor who is pretty engaged. And
it's probably the ultra high end homes that are more dominated by out of staters. I think that's probably why people would assume that the big massive multi-million dollar places are probably more likely a higher percentage of out of staters. Yeah.
Yeah, and so anyway, I just picked up on those two things. Of course, you know, there's a lot of distrust and there's a lot of, you know, angst about, you know, what's going to happen, you know, in the future and you know, how things are going to go. I barely heard anything on the tariffs other than, you know, some of the more left-leaning people that stopped by the booth to, give a rationing on that.
Kind of reiterate, you know, the same left-wing kind of talking points. Yeah. Hey, that's interesting. I'll tell you what, Stu, we got to wrap up the 8 o'clock hour here. I've got a couple of guests joining me in the 9 o'clock hour, but after that, we've got phone lines open for the rest of the 9 o'clock hour. If you want to call back in, I'd love to talk more about, you know, the topics that came up at the fair over the weekend.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Here's News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for...